And rather than leave it sitting here, because the background noise is kind of loud, I have to hold it to you and me. But I'm looking at this book, and it's a very delightful book that would be great for school kids in the first, second, and third grade about evolution. It's sort of like no conflict between religion and evolution. You show how there really doesn't need to be conflict.
The book of cartoons, Seeking Vision. See, originally I did a lot of those cartoons, the vast majority, to submit to I was going to this Quaker church, the Berkeley Friends Church at Sacramento and Cedar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was submitting them to their, Sunday bulletins. Every Sunday they have a new bulletin, and they'd put some kind of drawing on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them they did use, and it gave me an incentive, to do all these kinds of cartoons.
Well, this piece here was done that you did in 1990, called Will Berkeley, California Become Just Another Sick American City? How do you feel it is now in 2000? Here you say more hard-nosed, rude power and submission attitude going around. How would you compare it now to 1990? Worse, the same, better?
I don't think it's really just real simple, an increase in the rudeness and other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's the overall effect is it's gotten worse that way. I think at that time it was breaking out more and then decreased a bit for a while. I think that'll happen. You'll have times when there's less and times when there's more. But I think the overall trend is for it to get worse.
Yes, I think my observations have reached the same conclusion. I remember when Rockridge was becoming boutiqueized in the middle late 80s, that was also part of that trend in that direction. So how long have you been doing these types of cartoons?
Well, let's see, now the cartoons in this book are done over a period of 1987 through part of 1991. I did the copyright to cover all the years. So that's it was kind of like maybe real late 80s and early 90s. I was going to the church. I had this incentive to see if they'd use some of my cartoons.
These are sort of personal meditations and observations about animal life and human life and evolution as you see it and put into cartoon form. And they're, I find them very charming and very compassionate. And at the same token, very open-minded to the point where religious fanatics would find your stuff blasphemous.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
Yet liberal churches would not. They would find it exactly on spot.
Well, I feel a little uneasy about the cover where I have a cartoon about Jesus. That's really supposed to be Jesus saying, "I meant well."
Uh-huh.
He looks kind of weary or worn out, which I can understand if you're trying to help people so much. They're not always all that helpful themselves. But like so many things, like for the long ages of the earth, he spoke in points of ground and small. Some of these things I haven't praised for in the Christian. I'm not sure whether, strictly speaking, you read the four Gospels in the Bible. I'm not sure if really, didn't he speak on little creatures as presenting lessons and also, had kind of grand views too, something like that, the one thing that explains the lilies of the field and how, what's all this bit with all this elaborate property and fancy clothing when,
right,
the flowers themselves are more attractive than Solomon.
Yeah, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, nor do they spin. But never was King Solomon arrayed in such glory as these lilies. Something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of a beautiful passage. And there's something about a bird, some kind of bird. I can't remember what kind of bird, but something like, that they kind of, it's kind of like, maybe it's a little like Zen. They just sort of do things when they do them. They don't make any bones about it. Just go about the business, whatever they do, in a natural, unselfconscious, self-thrusting sort of way,
Right. that I would regard as inspiration of some aspects of life. And also you strike me as a very open-minded person who has enough of a conscience to realize that maybe putting Jesus in this perspective isn't quite enough, so that you'll probably do other works that represent other religions and worldviews like Buddhism, even atheism and so forth. I have no problem with you doing this particular book with having references to Jesus. And even the references to Jesus, though, are extremely open-minded, because obviously it indicates you cover many other things, and this book doesn't represent
anything.
I'd like
to get into more into some of these other things, like, see, there's a copy, a translation I like when I read the passage of the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a few copies in Korea. It's funny, literally it's a pocket-sized book,
mm-hmm.
and you get it, and I like the translation the way it goes, and I not too long ago I got through with reading the Bible all the way through, and there's so much crap mixed in with the good stuff. I feel there must be much better scriptures in the Bible. I mean, that really just sort of are much better just telling it straight, pure, and simple without mixing in all this garbage.
You seem to have more also an anthropological perspective,
the
too.
The Bible justifies some most barbaric practices possible.
Of course.
At the same time, it has some wisdom and has some lofty values, but, you know, I mean, I'm really kind of disgusted by these horrible ancient Hebrew people and their
mm-hmm.
stupid ways.
Jews are extremely liberal and have nothing to do with that old world.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
Well, I'm a student of world religions and world views. I've majored in anthropology, and I see you also have quite an extensive knowledge of anthropology and evolution reflecting those comics. So I don't see where you are limited in any way with your work. How long have you been, besides these cartoons, have you been doing stuff before these particular cartoons, before 87 or so?
Let me see. It was like around 1933, I think. I start to catch on to underground comics.
That's the year I finally showed up in Berkeley, San Francisco. Go ahead.
I'm collecting them. I'm making a collection of underground comics. A lot of them I didn't take too much in a personal way, but I felt they were really valuable artifacts at the time, even if they weren't very entertaining for me or something.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's certain cartoons like R. Chromo Bobo, was just so, he used the 60s expression right on,
mm-hmm.
Whatever he said, it was something disgusting or horrible. It was just such a ring of truth,
I'd love underground.
You just say yes to what he says, it's kind of like the slants you put on the setting, not the setting itself, it can go wrong. And he had some kind of slant about things like even killing a girl and having sex with her body that I thought made it okay. I don't know how to explain this. I don't think you can. It's very subjective.
But he was satirizing.
Somebody else doing this thing would just do something disgusting and nauseating and horrifying, and he did something a lot more.
Yeah.
So I think it's how you approach your subject, which may be unfortunately beyond your control. It's just the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
But whether it's really a bad thing or not, or a good thing, or whatever you want to call it. But I always remember what Henry Miller said before I got into underground comics. I discovered Henry Miller, and he says he just comes around and says, I think there's a place for obscenity in literature.
Mm-hmm.
And he says there's a tradition for it. Now, there are scholars who mince words about this, but he just comes out and says that some of these guys like Rabelais and Buck Sestio, etc., over centuries, and then we have his stuff and some other people in our times, are dealing with the obscene. They're just being real honest and frank about it.
Okay. Now, how long have you been with this booth in front of Cody's bookstore?
Well, Cody's it's such an exceptional store, amazing. I have this privilege. They let me use their tables. They let me use some of their chairs to sit up here. I want to talk to you long, but an awful long time ago, this was really the late 70s. I got involved in producing a magazine called Telly Times, short for Telegraph Avenue Times.
I think I remember that.
And it was about street people, other socially marginal people of Telegraph. And also, it was sometimes about comics. Those were the two main subjects. And, there are four different stores that would take it, when I got an issue out. But this guy, working in a very important position in Shorty's was the only dealer who was really kind of nice and friendly about it. You know, really thought there was something, Shorty thought there was something to it. And we kind of were acquainted with each other for quite some years. So by the time he left, he had to go somewhere else to work. It kind of the goodwill toward me kind of passed on to other people.
Hmm.